Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It works, except for that. This morning, we're going to cover verses 24 through 30 in Mark chapter 7. If you would turn with me to that scripture. After Jesus left there, he went to the region of Tyre. When he went into a house, he did not want anyone to know, but he was not able to escape notice. Instead, a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, of Phoenician origin, Syro-Phoenician origin. She asked him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs." She answered, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "Because you said this, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Father, we ask you that our hearts and minds would be open to your word, the things that you want us to learn and to remember. So we just ask that you be with each and every one of us in this room. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. Now, if you remember, previously, Jesus had walked on water after being on one portion of the Sea of Galilee. And he arrived, he and the disciples, they arrived over in Gerasene? It's a town just to the left of Capernaum there. I've got a little laser here I can try to show you. So they had crossed the sea. When they arrived there, people followed, and they brought sick and diseased people, and he healed them. Then we had the Pharisees come in and ask why, you know, his disciples don't wash their hands, and Brother Nathan went through all that, and even got to the point at the end of that, the last sermon, Jesus even looked at his disciples and said, "Are you dumb? Don't you understand what I'm saying?" So I believe in all this that Jesus has been trying to get alone with his disciples to have some time to rest and to teach them and things like that. So he takes them from Capernaum up to Tyre. And some of your Bible translations say Tyre and Sidon. Mine says Tyre, but there's Sidon up here. So he takes them up there, and from Mark's gospel, he doesn't want anybody to know that he's there. For that reason, he doesn't want to get interrupted, I believe. But there's this woman. We know very little about this woman. We don't know her name. We don't know her history. We don't know what led her to come to this house that day. And my guess is that she overheard them talk and realized that this is the Jesus that she's heard stories about miraculous healings and things like that. So she starts, I just wanted to say that the lessons that we're going to cover today are encouragement to pray for others and perseverance in praying for others. So encouragement and perseverance. I just want to preface this with a disclaimer. Almost all of what I'm going to say came out of a book written by J.C. Riley. He wrote an exposition and had it published in 1857 on the Book of Mark. So I want to give him credit. Most all of this is going to come from him. So she knows that Jesus is in this group. And she's going around and asking questions about who can heal her daughter. And she just keeps asking and asking and asking. And I'm getting comfortable with this mouse being where it's not supposed to be. Yep, that's the one I just covered, okay. She's distressed, she's anxious. She wants relief and healing for her daughter. And she sees her child possessed by an evil spirit. She sees a child she loves unable to be reached by any teaching or any words or healed by any medicine known to man. Just one step better than death itself. So she is pleading for her daughter. In verse 29 of our scripture, Jesus answers her prayer and tells her that her child is saved or is healed. The demons left your daughter. And we're going to get to Matthew 15 in a minute here. But that 15 says the same thing. I just want to go back just for a second here. While the first answer given was discouraging, she pressed on with an excellent argument. He characterized his disciples as children and her as a dog. But the word being used was not the derogatory term used by most of the folks at that time towards any Gentiles. It had the connotation of a puppy or a family pet. So he's not being cruel or mean in the situation. He came first for the Jews. And because of the covenant that was between God and the Jews, he came first for them, but he also came for the Gentiles. That you can see that in Isaiah chapter 45. It talks about when the Messiah comes, all these things will happen, and all nations will come to him. So she debates back. And I don't know if I should really say I debate. She just gives an observation about the family life. You know, even the puppies, even the little dogs underneath the table, they get to clean up the crumbs that the children drop. And that's all she's asking for. And he answers her prayer, and she goes home. She finds the child lying in bed, and the demon's gone. So when prayers are answered, it's a great encouragement to continue to pray for others. I've had prayers answered in the past, and it's always been a great encouragement. I'm sure many times there's been prayers that you've made that have been answered. Let's go over to Matthew 15. And this is Matthew's account of the same story. And so I'm going to read through verse 23. Same account. After going out from there, Jesus went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that area came and cried out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is horribly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her. That's the little detail that wasn't in Mark. He didn't answer her. Then his disciples came and begged him, "Send her away because she keeps on crying out after us." Perseverance. She wouldn't stop. And this tells us the degree to which she was persevering. She was, well, being a pest. She wasn't going to give up. And they were getting tired of this. And so they say, "Please, Lord, send her away." Perseverance. And there's the same language in Mark. I'm back to Mark again. So her daughter could not speak for herself, so her mother does it for her. Now where there's a praying mother, there's always hope. So this scripture is here to encourage us to pray for others. And it's a message that's repeated several places in the Bible. Remember the nobleman at Capernaum, the centurion's servant, the daughter of Jairus. It's just a few. Fathers and mothers, remember this woman. We can't change our children's hearts. All we can do is give them a good Christian education, show them the way of life. We cannot give them a will to follow Christ or a mind to love. Or a mind to love God, but we can pray for them. We can pray for the conversion of a son bent on extravagant living and self, greedy to run into sin, as seen in the prodigal son. We can pray for conversion of a daughter whose mind is set on things here below and loving pleasure more than God. Never forget that children prayed over with many prayers will seldom perish. Let's pray for our sons and daughters. Even when they will not let us speak to them about religion, they can't stop us from speaking for them to God. So, heart failure. We all go through a type of heart failure when we're praying for others. We get weary of praying. Time and time again, we go to prayer for somebody, and there's no answer. Our hearts become cool and indifferent. After all, the other person is never going to change. Why am I still praying? Satan deceives us into believing that our prayers are useless. Our hands droop to our sides, our knees get sore, we just give up. Satan always puts doubt in reason why we should cease trying. These things are true of all prayer, but especially prayer for others. Remember how she received mercy by persevering? She didn't faint when faced with great discouragement. We will get discouraged, but we need to push through it and continue. With God's grace, we need to decide firmly to continue our course of prayer. Do we know what it is to pray for ourselves? Of course we do. It's the first thing we learn when we first come to know we need God to forgive us our sin. If a person doesn't know what it is to pray for their own soul, how can they ever pray for others? Such a person is godless, without Christ, and hopeless. They must first learn the rudiments of religion. They need to awake and call upon God. Do we pray for ourselves? Of course we pray for ourselves. So let's also pray for others. Beware of selfish prayer. Prayer is always about ourselves, about our own failings, or about our own needs and wants. Make room for others, even the most undeserving and the worst hardened unbeliever. The whole purpose of this talk on perseverance reminds us that our timing is not God's timing. God and God alone knows when the timing is right for that other person. Let's continue in prayer for them year after year. Our eyes may never see the answer to prayer. God may take 10, 15, 20 years to answer. It may not come until we're home with our Father in heaven. But while we live, let's continue to pray. It's a great kindness that we do for each other to speak on their behalf to our Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment Day will reveal that one of the greatest links to drawing some souls to God come from the prayers of family and friends. And I know that was a short sermon. That's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. We ask that each of us have, a lot of us here have children that have gone astray or left the faith. And all we can do is ask that you would soften their hearts and draw them back to yourself. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.